This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on great racing north of the border. We're talking a little south of the border, south of the Canadian border anyway, today. Plenty of action around the country. Towards the end of the program, we'll talk to Sean Clancy, get a little preview of the Far Hills meet. The Grand National will highlight that, and we'll get some of Sean's thoughts on that. And there is wagering on this steeplechase meet. Also, we'll talk to Jeremiah Engelhardt. He has four horses, four real contenders in today, in three of the stakes on the Empire Classic card over at Belmont, but it's Maryland Millions Day in at Laurel, and we'll talk a little bit at the top of the show with our friend Acacia Courtney. Acacia, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me.
Happy
Pretty
to have you.
For today.
Yeah, we were talking before we went on the air. Your fourth Maryland Millions.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, and we talk about this all the time, but there really has been so much emphasis put on Maryland racing recently, and it's been really fun to be a part, not just of this weekend, but of a lot of the other big days here at Laurel Park, and to see how it's really grown. And I think you can really see that in the full field and the great card assembled today, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Maryland racing, you know, from when I first got into the game, was one of those jurisdictions that was really important to the American racing scene. Hit a little valley, as it were, but I think has moved back up to a peak over the past 3 or 4 years. But Maryland Millions has been, it was the first state-bred kind of a day like this in the country. And I'm guessing there's probably still, on Maryland Million Day, some type of salute to Jim McKay, because it was it was his idea, essentially. And for folks who may be younger and don't remember, Jim McKay was an icon of ABC Sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely was. And him and Bill Boniface, who I actually had the chance to do a feature on Bill Boniface last year when I was here at Maryland Million, and he still has Bonita Farm and is very active in everything happening here at Maryland. And hearing him talk about Jim McKay and the thought process of having $1 million on the line, you know, with 10 different races for the Maryland bred, it was a really novel idea at that time, and it was huge for Jim to be able to say, let's put more emphasis on the Maryland stallions that are here and give the breeding farms an opportunity to showcase what they have, because there really is a lot of quality. And you've seen some pretty big-name stallions coming here to Maryland and really growing and having some real runners. So you've got the exciting two-year-old races. You've got the classic, which is always strong. And then the turf and sprint divisions, I mean, they really are showcasing a lot of good stuff and some really special horses that, again, get to showcase what the breeders are doing every day here in the state.
Let's jump into it, because it is a great day, loaded with stakes action and nice competitive fields that will offer some good betting value. Let's start with the classic. And I pulled up a replay because it's a horse that is out on the AE list, but first on the AE list. But if Cordmaker gets in, he'll be the horse to beat. And I pulled up the Governor's Day from Delaware Park back on September 28th. Cordmaker's the number one horse here and wins. Five wins and eight starts this year. As I say, he depends on a scratch in the body of the field. Uh-huh. If he doesn't get in, try for gold and torch for a torch of truth coming out of a 1-2 finish at Laurel on October 6th looked pretty good. Tap and Cat seems to be in some pretty good form. But what are your thoughts on the Maryland Millions Classic?
It's a really exciting race, and it can be a little bit confusing, but the reason Cordmaker, though he is a Maryland bred, is on the outside on the AE list is that this is for Maryland's sired horses, and he's by Curlin, and so even though he's Maryland bred, it would have to have a scratch for him to open up in order to get into the body of the race. So that's how that works, and it is based off of earnings as far as how they're posted there in the AE list, and so hopefully we'll get to see him. As of now, there are no scratches. We won't, but we're still left with a really exciting field. And Clubman is your morning line favorite. And he's really been effective at multiple distances and running in stakes competition. I think that he's certainly a good contender in here. I took the 7 Forest Fire on top. I know he's stretching out in distance, but I like his running style. John Service certainly shifts with intention coming into Laurel Park. And him and Torch of Truth were the ones that I really did prefer. I mean, Torch of Truth has been a good claim for the Nest Barn, and he's in good form recently off of a couple of good races. And I actually think that the distance is really going to suit him quite well for the very prolific sire here in Maryland and not for love.
Very good. So the Maryland Millions Classic will be race 10 on the card. The race just prior to that, the Maryland Millions Sprint Handicap, $100,000 up for grabs, as the title hints at. 6 furlongs the trip. And some notable names in here, Jason Service and Michael Dubb bring down Call Paul. Lewis mm-hmm. Field, Lakai, I believe is the way you pronounce that, if I'm correct, from mm-hmm. Robertino Diodoro. From Damon Della DeVico. A lot of vowels and whatnot in there in the same. But a field of 11 entered, and as I say, those three will certainly attract some attention. What are your thoughts in the sprint?
Well, you mentioned Call Paul, and we've seen him a lot. He's a grade 3 winner. He won the Swale at Gulfstream going 7 furlongs. He's been sticking at the 6, and one thing is that he is a 3-year-old, and he's facing a lot of older horses in here. But he did win against older at Delaware last time out, and he has faced grade 1 quality company in the past. So he's definitely got the class, but there's some really good Maryland horses in here. And you mentioned Lakai for Damon Della DeVico, and this horse has been ultra consistent. But I'm actually really intrigued by Damon's other horse, and that's the 2 Taco Supreme. And he's just been one of those up-and-comers. He's a 4-year-old, and I spoke to Damon about him yesterday, and he said he's kind of like a big kid. So it's taken him a while, both physically and mentally, to kind of grow into himself. And he's really been moving at the right direction. And so he's really pleased with how he's doing lately. Turning back slightly to the 6 furlongs, which just might be his most effective distance. And while you have Lakai and Lewis Field, who've been bumping heads and been really impressive, Lewis Field winning last year's Maryland Millions Sprint by more than 8 lengths. You've got kind of a new face in here in Taco Supreme, who I think might shake things up, and maybe a bit of a price as well.
Yeah, 10-1 on the morning line, so maybe some value in there in the sprint. Let's go back a little bit earlier. The 2-year-old races are always fun this time of year, and the Maryland Millions Nursery is race number 2, 6 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. And as I look at this one, Nation on Parade mm-hmm. looks pretty good to me off the career debut. I'm a buyer's guy. The buyer looks pretty good compared to this field, but it was a second place finish. So this is a maiden now stepping in against some stakes company and some horses that have stakes experience as well. So you can make cases for some of the others, though the buyer numbers are a little bit lighter. What are your thoughts mm-hmm. in the nursery?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, Our Nation on Parade got a 76 buyer speed figure for his debut, and he was a little bit green in the stretch, and the winner just kind of just got up. And unfortunately, Double Crown did have an issue that would keep him out of running in the stakes this weekend. Otherwise, he likely would have been the big favorite in this race. But Our Nation on Parade, now owned by Reeves Racing, was purchased. He certainly looks like he's going to be a force in here. I like him quite a bit. I did take one that's got the experience edge on top, the 8 Tommy Shelby. He was beaten at Delaware last time out in his first try at stakes competition, but he was kind of settled at the back of a field of 5. He I don't think Rev really ever had the smoothest trip. And sometimes in those smaller fields, especially when you're a bit of a closer, things can often kind of go wrong. It almost seems like you can sometimes find more traffic trouble in small fields than you can in big fields. So I think he's going to have plenty of pace to run at today, and he's going to have to run his race because this is actually a pretty solid field, and I think Our Nation on Parade is very good. But he looks very interesting to me, especially because he's getting a touch more distance at the 6 furlongs and has a good closing kick, hopefully with a bigger field and some pace to run at.
Sounds good. Give us a little update on what the weather situation is down there.
It's beautiful. It got really nice yesterday afternoon. We were off the sprint races off the turf yesterday, as there was some rain on Wednesday. So the turf should be in top condition today. It looks great. The rain was needed. The wind has died down, and it should be mid-60s this afternoon and really comfortable.
And I assume that Maryland Millions Day typically attracts a pretty good crowd down at Laurel.
It does. There's always a good crowd. There's hat giveaways. There's a good buffet. And it really is Maryland's day at the races. So there's a lot of on-track events as well. If you're watching or you're able to come out to the track, there's a Shetland Pony Race. The Clydesdales are going to be on the track. So Foxtown. So a lot of fun stuff going on the whole day.
And I will say, Laurel has, I mention this all the time, but Laurel has, and I talked to Dave Rodman about that time, I think it's around Thanksgiving time, has the best giveaway in all of horse racing with Pie Day. Yes.
Yes, they are amazing.
Yeah, you can't beat that. Although the mincemeat, which Dave said is, I think, has varied from year to year. Some years, yes, some. That doesn't sound so good. I'm more apple. I'll go with apple.
Yes. Yeah, the apple personal pies are a big hit and definitely worth it if you can make it out over here. But it's always fun. It really is a family day at the races. And they always bring out a good crowd and put on a good show at Laurel Park.
And just before we let you go, we were talking again before we went on the air. Just give us your schedule. Today, obviously, pregame and during the day on the simulcast Maryland Millions Day. But then back in New York for the Fox MSG show and then heading out to Southern Cal.
That's right. I've been doing a lot with the Fox Sports shows, as you mentioned, America's Day at the Races after Saratoga Live this summer, and then off to do the Players Show with the Breeders' Cup at a fellow Stronach track at Santa Anita. So really looking forward to that. I'll be out there the whole week, and then packing up and heading down to Florida for the championship meet at Gulfstream Park.
Very good. We're envious. An active schedule, but heading to some of the bigger racing over the next few months. So enjoy all of that, and certainly enjoy the day today down at Laurel. We enjoyed the visit, and we'll talk again.
Thanks so much, Seth. Always fun.
All right, Acacia Courtney, Laurel today, Maryland Millions Day. Again, one of the first state-bred type of programs that, you know, stakes races throughout the card, focusing on Maryland sires or Maryland breds if they get into the race. But they kind of launched that, and you know, we have the day today at New York. Remington, I think, was last night. They had the state bred program, so they've spread across the country. But it was Jim McKay and, as Acacia said, Bill Boniface that got things started down in Maryland at Laurel. So a great stakes day, and we'll have some more thoughts on that as the day progresses. But also do want to mention, speaking of good racing, not just here, but we're international today. You've been seeing all this morning on the network, British Champions Day coming up in, I think, about 5 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, if they're still on schedule. And I'm being told, yes, that is correct. They will have the QE2. So why don't we go to a break? We'll come back. And when we come back, the QE2 from Ascot on British Champions Day, we'll watch that live. A little bit later on, Jeremiah Engelhart, Sean Clancy, all of that when Racing Across America continues. Stay tuned.
ways to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup winning your in-series.
To win one of these Challenge Series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the Challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horsing in Europe. We saw Highland Reel run in both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning, this Saturday that features British Champions Day, a day they put on the English calendar to kind of wrap up their flat season and give them a big day comparable to what we have over here in the Breeders' Cup, and it's become a fun day, certainly. We've had an upset on today's card a little bit earlier, 3-5 on the morning line, Stradivarius in race two, British Champions Long Distance Cup. 10-10 over the last two seasons, but beaten today by Kew Gardens. So Stradivarius upset in the second race on British Champions Day. Coming up next, race number four on the Ascot card, the QE2, over $1.4 million up for grabs in this Group 1, a mile on the turf. I have it 2-8, 12, and 13. I took a little shot with Ben Battle coming off a win last time at Newmarket. At the mile distance for Godolphin, we're currently getting 4-1 there. The favorite is The Revenant. And if you're a movie fan, you can do a little movie exact in here. The Revenant and King of Comedy, the 8 and the 11. If the movies come through, you have The Favorite at 2-1 and The 11 at 5-1. So again, for Hollywood fans, maybe there's a shot there, a hunch there. But I put Ben Battle on top over The Revenant. So 4-1 over 2-1. Magna Grisha, the number 12 horse, also in my mix. That one at 8-1. And I thought there might be some value with the 13. Yeah, it's 17-1. Mohathir, who is 3-4 in the career but hasn't been seen since April. You know, I thought the 13 might add some value. You're up against it a little bit there. Magna Grisha hasn't been seen since May. These guys over there, you know, it's become more of a thing here in the United States, too, to come off layoffs. We don't look at a layoff as negatively now as we used to when I first got into the game. But over there, they do it more often, bigger layoffs, and successfully oftentimes. So, again, the 12 and the 13 off layoffs, and you're getting some decent value there. As well at 8-1 and 17-1. So for me, the QE2 stakes, race number four, Royal Ascot, I have a 2-8, 12, and 13. Was that the 11 that was acting up there a little bit? King of Comedy was being a joker, it seems like, and rearing up a little bit. But they are, I'm showing 0 minutes to post, and it seems like they're getting closer and closer. Time form, as you can see there, 8, 5, and 12. They use The Revenant on top over Lord Glitters, who has had a couple of off-the-board finishes in the last couple. Again, I think Ben Battle coming out of the win last time, kind of interesting. The Revenant coming off a win at Longchamps in France, certainly, you know, with the undefeated 4-4 record this year, a logical favorite, and 2-1. 2-1 actually may wind up to be some value. 2-1 on the morning line. But I'll take my shot with the two-horse Ben Battle. We'll see how that works out. Well, as I say, they're showing 0 minutes to post, so I'm going to send it over to the commentary they have. We can listen in as they do load in and launch in this mile turf race. The QE2 stakes, well over $1.4 million up for grabs. British Champions Day at Ascot. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the race.
8 wins from 10 starts, including the pre-Daniel Wildenstein last time on the track. Beat Almedo by 4 lengths, beat Imaging at Baden-Baden, as we said before, and has won last six races, long winning streak, but up into Group 1 company for the first time, Pierre-Charles Boudot, the ARC winning rider, has the ride. Happy Power goes to the King Power team. They had a winner earlier on today in that first race with Don Juan Triumph, and what a huge big price double this would be if Happy Power could win. Sylvester Souza is on board. Won a listed race at York, the Ganton Stakes early in the year, and also a handicap at Newbury. But up into Group 1 company today. King of Change goes for Richard Hannon and Sean Levy. Was second to Magna Grecia in the Guineas. Was last seen winning a listed race at Sandown. Sorry, it wasn't second behind Magna Grecia in the Guineas. It was a winner at Sandown, won at Nottingham earlier this year. But still lightly raced. Has a good record on the track so far. King of Comedy, Mount of Francatory, is number 11. Cheap Piece are on for the first time. There you can see he's down at the start. Looks a little bit more settled. He's had a good season. Second behind Circus Maximus in the St. James's Palace. Beaten quite easily by Ben Battle last time in the Joel Stakes. Was a bit disappointing that day. Magna Grecia is a fascinating runner for Aidan O'Brien. Magna Grecia, a horse who won the Racing Post Trophy, or what's now the Virtus Futurity Trophy, one of the best two-year-old races last season, won the 2000 Guineas. Wasn't the most fancied of the Cornwall runners that day, but got the victory, then went to the Curragh, tried to do the double Guineas, but was beaten by Phoenix of Spain and was lame after that race and hasn't been seen since May, the end of May. So if getting back to that form, he's going to be a big player. Wonder whether the ground conditions will be okay for him. Another horse who's been off for a while, Mahatha, who won the Greenham. The runners start to load up. Mahatha, who beat Great Scott in the Greenham early in the year, not sure quite what that form is worth. Moves swiftly. Phoenix of Spain, the Irish Guineas winner, needs to make all. Not sure this straight mile will be to his benefit. Voracious is the last runner, big outsider for Sir Michael Stout. So they load up 8-5-12 for the Timeform team. Timeform go with Ben Battle here as their top rated. As the runners load up, there is Ben Battle, the mount of Oisin Murphy, can be crowned champion jockey today. This is Imogen. Chris Hayes giving his mount a good pat before going forward. Be loading into stall 16. 4.1 about the 8, the Revenant, the favourites. 4.5 about Ben Battle. This is a really deep race. I've just gone through all those runners. I mean, there's not many you can really put a line through. Horses like the Revenant, who have been in good form. Hard to know exactly what that form is worth, but very highly rated, the Revenant. Magna Grecia and Mahatha both lightly raced, as is King of Change. There's the Revenant going forward. Got a field of 16 to lows. Safe Voyage. And move swiftly. The next ones to go forward. Let's go and join Simon Holt for the QE2.
Two or three to go in. Move swiftly. King of Comedy walking up. And Accidental Agent. They're lined up. Accidental Agent into stall 9. And they're away, and away to a pretty level break, and a little bit of a difference of opinion amongst the jockeys. Safe Voyage cut in behind runners towards the centre. Phoenix of Spain going forward, so too Voracious, who leads the way towards the far side. Voracious from Phoenix of Spain, who's followed by Ben Battle. On the far side, Magna Grecia is a little isolated, but against that far running rail. Happy Power is chasing them, a couple of lengths to Accidental Agent from King of Change. And then moving up towards the outside now in the red jacket, King of Comedy. As they race on towards the halfway stage, Imaging is further back from the Revenant, and then Mohatha. Raising Sand is being held up with Century Dream, and Move Swiftly. Lord Glitters is towards the rear with Safe Voyage. Voracious has opened up into a three-length lead, maybe three and a half lengths, to Phoenix of Spain and Magna Grecia. And they are followed by Happy Power. Ben Battle towards the outside in the all-blue jacket, Accidental Agent. And then behind these races, King of Change. On the right then is King of Comedy. Hardy and Frankie Dettori getting closer, followed by Imaging. The Revenant is trying to get out, being held in by Imaging. As they race on now with 2 furlongs left to travel, Mahatha's got a bit of ground to make up. Century Dream is pulled very wide. Voracious still leading the way, chased by Happy Power. And here's King of Change now being delivered. Out wide is the Revenant, and King of Change loomed up to lead the way from Voracious. The Revenant is after this new leader, King of Change, by 2.5 lengths to the Revenant as they race inside the final furlong. Then Safe Voyage, King of Change just wandering off a true line. The Revenant slightly impeded perhaps, but King of Change is on top, and King of Change wins. King of Change from the Revenant. Safe Voyage through for third. The longtime leader, Voracious, holding on for fourth.
And I'm not sure who ran third in there, but it was King of Comedy, King of Change, excuse me. King of Change and King of Comedy right in the lineup next to each other with the 10 and the 11, but it was King of Change, the number 10 horse, who got it done. Coming out of a win last time at a mile, a second before that at a mile, and a win before that at a mile. So seemed to have appreciated the distance in 3 starts this year with a couple of wins at the mile trip, and went off at 11-1 from an 8-1 morning line. So 10-8, and we will keep our eyes on that there. Because of the way these British races are shown, they don't really stick, even on the internet signal, they don't really stick to the one track. So I'll keep my eyes open for when they put up a more complete order of finish. But it was 10-8, 1-2 there with the Revenant, the favorite, running second, who eventually kicked up to 3-1, surprisingly. Got the betting public. Oh, and the betting public actually made the horse I like, the number 2, Ben Battle, or they were calling it Ben Battle, or they had a little more flair on it. Went off as the co-choice at 3-1. But again, we'll keep our eyes on that and alert you when they have a more complete order of finish. All right, why don't we go to a break? When we come back, we actually taped our interview with Jeremiah Englehart yesterday. Again, he has 4 really nice contenders in 3 of the stakes races at Belmont today. And it's a nice day of New York bred racing with many, many New York bred stakes on the card today down at Belmont. So a nice stakes laden card today down in New York City or the New York City area. So we'll talk a little bit about some of those stakes right after the break with Jeremiah Englehart. Stay tuned. And you don't have to come back to me.
Here's some exciting news from Capital OTB. Capital Off-Track Betting and the Rivers Casino have partnered to bring you the finest experience in wagering on all your favorite thoroughbred and harness tracks from right inside the casino. Our newest location is open daily and can be found at Vance Flicks Bar, offering live tellers, self-serve betting terminals, racing information kiosks, and all the amenities you've come to expect from Capital OTB. See you at the Rivers Casino in Schenectady.
Happy to be joined now by our friend Jeremiah Engelhardt. He has three very contentious runners in the stakes action Saturday at Belmont Park. Jeremiah, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How you doing?
Very good. Before we get into some of those stakes runners, I just want to talk a little bit because as I look, at least, what, one, a couple of these, or three of the horses I'm looking at, and I said three contenders, actually four contenders in three races, but three of them have been working up here at Saratoga. Talk a little bit about Saratoga, the training season. How many horses do you still have up here? And when does the training season end at Saratoga?
We're going to look to be out of here by towards the end of October. I think the last day of training is around somewhere in the middle of November. We still have about 25 horses up here right now. Just, you know, we're starting to get horses, you know, rotate horses down to Belmont. You know, so it's right now it's kind of like the moving season. You know, as the horses get closer to races, we move them down to Belmont and where they'll be this winter to train for Aqueduct.
What's it like training up here after after Labor Day when the season closes? I assume the quiet atmosphere is probably good for you and good for the horses.
It really seems like, you know, it's a good atmosphere for training. It does get a lot, you know, quieter. You know, I've been battling a little bit of horses, about half a dozen horses getting sick, you know, mainly just because the temperature going, yeah. You know, they're upper, you know, getting high and then getting real low. So other than that, it's been real enjoyable.
It has been a crazy season since about Labor Day. You get about one good day a week where it seems like summertime, and then you get four or five rainy, cool days. But all right, let's get to Saturday down at Belmont. It's a New York Showcase Day, an Empire Showcase Day with New York Breds. And as I say, you have some contenders. Let's start out the Maid of the Mist, race number two on Saturday. You have Critical Value for our friend Marshall Graham, who we've talked about. We've had him on the show up at Saratoga. Teaches, I believe, economics in college, but he's a great contest player, and he's become a fairly prominent owner with 10 Strike Racing. This horse, a pretty close-up second in the career debut at Saratoga, and we're going to take a look at the maiden breaker up at Saratoga on August 29th. Critical Value will be the number 11 horse. Talk about this race we're looking at now, the maiden breaker. How did he come out of that, and what are your expectations for Saturday?
Good. She came out of that race very well. It wasn't really a race I was going to point her towards at first because she ran so well in her first race. I was kind of going to give her more time. But, you know, the way the race came up, I thought it was the right opportunity for her. And she moved forward in that race. And then, you know, kind of after that race, the Maid of the Mist was going to be a race I kind of targeted for her because I thought she would benefit from more distance. And it just seemed timing-wise it would be a good spot for her.
Yeah, $250,000 up for grabs. That's not bad. First start, 6.5 furlongs. And as I say, close-up second there. Second start that we just looked at, that was 6 furlongs. Saturday is a mile. What are your thoughts on the stretch out and distance?
Well, I mean, I'm very confident in the fact that, you know, I have a horse-rider relationship that, you know, Junior is going to have confidence in her. He's going to know her. I don't have to say a whole lot. I kind of just let him do his thing and go from there. It's a tough little race. You know, Tim Hills is filly there is undefeated and ran a bang up race in her last start. You get a couple other, you know, fillies that look like that could be right there. So I just hope she moves forward off that maiden win.
And talk a little bit about Marshall Graham. What's it like training for him? He seems like, you know, as I say, we've had him on before talking just about the horse racing game in general because he's a numbers guy. He's fun to talk to. What's he like to train for?
I just know he's a lot smarter than I am. That's about it.
very good.
No, Marshall's great. He's intelligent, very easy to deal with. I mean, not to deal with, but just the relationship that I have, he handles everything with, you know, great. It just makes my job a lot easier for sure.
Yeah, as I say, he's a contest player. So I would think having an owner that comes in from that side of the game, they realize the ups and the downs from having been a player. So I would imagine he's a guy who is easy to deal with in that respect. All right, let's move on to the Empire Classic. $300,000 up for grabs for the three-year-olds and up going a mile and an eighth. Short field of five in here, and you have the morning line 3-5 favorite, Pat on the Back. And we're going to take a look at Pat on the Back in his last start, September 21st down at Belmont, wins the Grade 2 Kelso. So now moving from the open graded win back into state bred company. Talk a little bit about the Kelso. You had to be thrilled with that. And how's he coming into the race on Saturday?
Yeah, the Kelso, I thought Dylan did a really nice job getting him off the pace. And just, you know, kind of, you know, Pat on the Back, like, you know, very workman-like, blue-collar horse, gives it his all every time. And he seemed like he's come out of that race very well. So I'm hoping that, you know, he gives the Pat on the Back, you know, race coming up on Saturday. And we'll, you know, obviously Mr. Buff, you know, he's been running very well, too. He's in good form, coming out of a very difficult race last time. You know, you always know you have to be on your A game to run against him. And, you know, there's some couple other horses in there that look like are rounding into form. So, you know, definitely have to, you know, make sure we run our race and hopefully Pat shows up, you know, on Saturday.
You won this race last year with him coming out of a close-up second in the Shipman. So, obviously, this year you're coming in off a better effort, but also it was a lifetime best buyer number. Any concerns about a bounce? Is that something you'll look at?
I mean, yeah, there's always a little concern about that. I think more so with the younger horses than the older horses. I'm when we take him over to the paddock and put him in the gate, I think he knows what's going on. You want to be able to see if he can follow up that performance, but you know, he's going to have to run. Mr. Buff is, he's a serious contender to win. And, you know, we're definitely going to have to try to run him down. And that's, you know, the name of the game is, if it was as easy as just leading him over there, it wouldn't be any fun. So hopefully we get to celebrate tomorrow with a good effort from Pat.
All right, let's move on to the Sleepy Hollow. You have a couple in here. The Maid of the Mist was for the two-year-old girls. This one is for the two-year-old boys. Same $250,000, same mile. Let's go through your two one by one here. First, let's take a look at Captain Bombastic. I love the name, but Captain Bombastic, a winner in the career debut back on September 28th. We're going to take a look at that. Captain Bombastic will be the number one horse here. Wins by a chart margin of just over two lengths. So a pretty good-looking win. What are your thoughts coming out of that race and coming into Saturday? Because, again, this is kind of a big ask for a horse. Debut maiden breaker and step into a $250,000 stake. So what are your thoughts on Saturday?
Yeah, I definitely thought that of all the horses we have in, this is the one that, you know, I'm probably asking him to do the most. He has a real easy way of going, nice long stride. I really didn't think – I thought if any horse could probably handle the added distance and the you know, coming back pretty quick, it would be him. So, you know, we're going to let him do his thing, just kind of nice and easy, and let him get into the bridle and make his run. Both horses probably have a pretty similar running style. But Cleon Jones, definitely a little bit more seasoned.
And let's move on to Cleon Jones. Goes out for Al Gold. You've got some really nice two-year-olds for Al Gold this year. But this one comes out of the win in the Bondguard back on September 20th. Nice gutsy win there. Gave Larry Colmus a chance to give a fun, I think it was something like, catches the win, Cleon Jones.
Yeah.
so he comes back on Saturday off of a stakes win against State Breds. And I'm just looking, yeah, he's the most experienced in the field with four starts, a couple of wins, including already a stakes win and a stakes placing two back. The stakes placing was behind City Man, who's also in this race. So what are your thoughts Saturday for Cleon Jones?
You know, I'm just hoping he can run his race. I always thought the added distance would help him the way he, you know, his running style is, and it definitely did in his last start. So I'm just hoping he can make the jump up this time and go from there.
When you say added distance, he went from 6.5 back to 7 last time, did it successfully. Now he's moving to the mile, so that'll be a benefit too?
Yeah, this was ultimately the race that we had marked for him. I wasn't planning on running him in his last race.
Okay.
But we had kind of put him in there to help the race go for Munaki, and then Munaki got off to a horrible start, and kind of our plan wasn't even to run Cleon, really. But then, we just decided, well, let's just put him in. It was like the day before we sent him down, the day before, and ran him in the race, and I ended up winning. So it was one of those pleasant surprises. But then you were kind of a little disappointed because Munaki didn't run as well. But it's one of those things in this game. You just never know sometimes. So, coming out of that race into this race, I was hoping to have a little bit more time. But, going a flat mile, I think that'll help him a little bit more.
Well, let's catch up on a couple of horses. You mentioned Munaki. What's the game plan? Are you going to kind of regroup with him?
Yeah, coming out of that race, we just didn't get off to a great start. I'm looking, the ultimate goal is the race in December, the Great White at the $500,000 Stallion Stakes. And I'd probably look to run in the Notebook at Aqueduct and then back in the Great White from there.
All right, so we'll look for him. And one more I wanted to catch up on, My Italian Rabbi, because we saw him win a stake up at Saratoga, won that Stillwater Stakes very early in the meet. That was only the second start of the career off the maiden-breaking win. Subsequently, the Lady Finger Stakes up at Finger Lakes, and then she winds up in the New York Breeders Futurity. A pretty good second. We're going to watch the result here, the stretch run. Number 3, Dream Bigger wins off pretty easily as the 4-5 favorite, but My Italian Rabbi, pretty good second in there. What's up next for My Italian Rabbi?
Yeah, that race I was actually really happy with because the start of the race was awful for her. And, Jamie kind of rushed her up a little bit more than I wanted him to after the start, but he really needed to try to get some position, and she did. She hung on for second in that race. She wasn't going to beat the winner that day. It's a nice horse for Rapoli, but she's going to get a little time off now, and then we'll bring her back probably for some races early in 2020.
Very good. Jeremiah, appreciate the visit and the time as always, and certainly wish a lot of good luck on Saturday afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Seth. I appreciate it.
Jeremiah Engelhardt, again, 4 nice contenders and 3 of the stakes on the Empire Showcase Day at Belmont on Saturday afternoon.
As an owner, I love the Breeders' Cup winning your in series.
To win one of these challenge series is a way that we kind of map out our schedule throughout the year with our horses.
If you win one of the challenge races, you have a very good horse.
The King George, which is our winning ring race, provides the top middle distance horse in Europe. We saw Highland Reel running both races.
We know when we show up at the Breeders' Cup, we've got the world to beat, not just everybody in the United States. Breeders' Cup Challenge, win, and you're in.
Conquistador's Cielo puts ahead in front. Aloma's Rule on the outside is second. And Runaway Groom from Canada moves up. Runaway Groom alongside the inner two. Those three to the wire. Runaway Groom. Aloma's Ruler. Conquistador's Cielo. Runaway Groom in front.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Racing Across America on a Saturday morning, and a Saturday morning that will feature something a little bit different. You can watch them here on the network. The race is from Far Hills, which added parimutuel wagering. I think last year was the first year, but I thought we'd delve into a little bit, at least the feature race, the Grand National, and who better to reach out to than our friend Sean Clancy, Saratoga Special, and this is horseracing.com. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Steph. Good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. It's been a few. I always say it, about 2 weeks after Saratoga, it seems like it was 2 months ago. It's a weird kind of calendar thing, but everybody seems to feel it.
Oh, that place is crazy. You know, when you're at the meet, it's like something seems so long ago, and other things seem like they happened yesterday. It's great condensed time. It's just the craziest. And then when you leave, it's just like that. You look back on it, you're like, wow, it's been gone for a month or whatever. It's a funny place, Saratoga.
Crazy. We were talking before we went on the air, and you're at Far Hills, so give us a little weather update for this afternoon.
It's gorgeous here right now. Sun's out, very little breeze, just beautiful. Trees are changing colors, crowds rolling in. This place is just it's a really special place to go out, go racing here. I've been coming here since my dad won the feature here in about 1978. We always say, oh, what a chief. So I've been coming, I think, since then and rode here for many years. So it's a special place to come back to and just enjoy a day out. So it's great sport, beautiful atmosphere, great amphitheater, complete one-off.
And am I correct that last year was the first year for the parimutuel wagering?
Yes, they added it last year. They've been trying to get it for quite a while, and last year was the first time. So they've joined with Monmouth Park, and it's a pretty good I think certainly today's card, you have full fields and good competitive racing, and it's a great betting opportunity, actually, on all the races.
Well, let's jump in and talk about the Grand National, a grade one on the steeplechase side, 2 5/8 miles. It'll go off, scheduled for about 4:20 this afternoon, is race six at Far Hills. And, Sean, I pulled up the Lonesome Glory from Belmont Park. We're going to watch Surprising Soul upset things at 17-1, pretty much on the front end the whole way around. Running fourth that day was Winston C., who took the two grade ones up at Saratoga. Running fifth is Scorpioncer. Scorpioncer is in also on Saturday afternoon. Winston C. took a pass, but Surprising Soul and Scorpioncer coming out of this race. Moscato looks kind of interesting. But obviously, all eyes, I think, are going to be on 3-1 on the morning line. I think that's going to come down significantly. Wicklow Brave coming over from Europe off a couple of wins most recently in Ireland. I have to think that horse is going to take the action. What are your thoughts on the Grand National?
He's an amazing horse, Wicklow Brave. What he's accomplished in his career, he's 17 for 58, made $1.3 million, done it every different way, grade ones over hurdles, grade ones on flat. He came to Belmont. I actually remember him running there. I think Javier Castellano rode him in the 2 mile race, didn't break well. And Willie Mullins was there that day. And I remember him turning to me and he goes, he broke like a jumper. And we had a good laugh over that. But it's exciting to see him here. He's an icon over there. I mean, he's done it all. He's been to Melbourne Cup twice, been around the world. Fun to see him here. Very good horse. Willie Mullins is he's just uncanny what he can do. I mean, he wins everywhere he goes. So I think that's where you have to start. I know Willie Mullins last year, Gordon Elliott came over with jury duty and won. It's a $450,000 race. It's a good purse. So I think Willie Mullins circled this race probably with this horse back then. So I actually just saw him jog past me back at the barn. He looks great. He looks ready to roll.
Any thoughts on finding some value in the race, potentially?
It's tricky. I mean, there's a lot of European horses coming over. Jury Duty is back. He won it last year. His form isn't quite as good going into this year as it was last year. But a live horse, Gordon Elliott, same thing. He's prolific. He wins everywhere he goes. He's probably not going to get a ton of value there. He brings a storyteller over as well. Davey Russell, one of the greatest jockeys in the world. He rides him. I was actually leaning. I mean, if you wanted a little value, I'm staying out here in the wind now that I said it wasn't windy, but I thought the two outside horses, Brain Power, he has as much ability as any horse in the race, very highly rated horse. His form is tailed off. They freshened him up and have been aiming at this all summer long. I think he's got a little chance. I think first-time Lasix will help. And I thought Moscato maybe would improve a little bit off his race at Belmont. He should have won the Iroquois this spring. He was probably the best horse that day. And out of the other horses at a little bit of value, I thought, I mean, he's 15-1 on the morning line. You know, you might want to use him at a price. Jack Fisher's very good at kind of getting horses here. The race at Belmont was really looked more like a prep for this than it was, you know, kind of nailed on that day. But it's deep. I mean, you know, we haven't talked about Iranistan. He came last year to Saratoga. He's an absolute phenom. He makes his first start since the Turf Riders last year. He had a little training flat race at Chewan Downs. He did that well. It's a deep race. I mean, it's a fascinating race. I did the math last night. Horses earned a total of over $4.7 million in their career. So after today, the cumulative earnings would be over $5 million for a jump race, which is, and that's flat and jump. But, you know, it's a pretty cool collection of horses that have done it all. They've run on the flat in America, flat in Europe. They've run here over jumps all around the world. So it's an exciting race. And actually looking at Wicklow Brave, he's, you know, they give you the highest buyer. He ran a 96 buyer. I guess that was that day at Belmont Park.
and 10 years old, so it's fun to see him out there on the racetrack. $450,000 up for grabs. And with the steeplechase season kind of winding down, what is there, one more grade one after today?
No, this is the last grade one.
Okay.
There's a $75,000 stake next week, and then there's a little stake after that, a $40,000 race. But this is it, really. This is the big one. You know, as far as championship races, if Scorpioncer could, you know, rebound and win this, he would have won the Iroquois in the spring, and this, he'd certainly be champion. Surprising Soul, if he ran well, he could certainly, if he won, he'd have two grade ones, he'd probably be champion. You know, beyond them, Wicklow, you know, I don't know. He must have gotten hurt. I actually haven't done any. I haven't asked, but I figured I didn't need to ask because he wasn't here and he wasn't nominated to the race next week at the International Gold Cup. So he's obviously something amiss with him. But I mean, he's the only horse with two grade ones. If something happened today, if it was a big upset, I guess he'd probably be kind of champion by default if something out of the ordinary happens today.
All right, there's thoughts on the Grand National. But again, there is betting today, and we'll have it here at Capital OTB. And as there is betting, I look down the entries. So, Sean, before we let you go, we got to get some thoughts. You got two River D runners, and River D being the nom de plume of Sean Clancy. So talk a little bit, race 4, City Dreamer, race 5, Douglas Road. Any thoughts on your two runners?
I mean, I think City Dreamer's got a chance. You know, he's got to step up and beat Snap Decision, who we saw dominate at Saratoga, came back and won at Belmont. I think out of the horses, City Dreamer's more of a hunt meet horse, more of a 2.5 mile horse at Bar Hills, up and down hills, than maybe Snap Decision. But Snap Decision's got to stub his toe for anybody to step up and beat him. City Dreamer's coming here. I mean, we aimed for this. He won a big novice stake in the spring in May. We put him away for the summer with this in mind. So he had his run at Belmont. I think he's ready to run. I think he'll run well. I think he'll like this track. It's suited more like the race that he won at Nashville. And then Douglas Road's been a fun flat horse for us. I had him with Arno Delacour. He got to his three other than condition. Really didn't look like he's going to get through it. Tried him in a couple of stakes. You know, he's going to be hard-pressed to kind of get through that. So switched him to Todd Wyatt with this in mind. Same thing. He's had a little training flat race at Chewan Downs. Platform's good. Having said that, it's a proper flat race. You got Lunaire, who everybody would remember from Saratoga, got through the two other than condition up there. Surprise Twist is a, you know, stake horse, was second in the Cape Henlopen for Arno. So it's a deep race. You got Renown in there, kind of a veteran Laurel Turf Cup winner, those type of races. But I like Douglas Road. I've always liked the horse. This is the plan. I mean, I like coming to a race meet when you had planned it. And both horses, this has been the plan for months. So here we are. Hopefully we'll get lucky.
Nice. Well, we wish you a lot of luck with your horses. Wish you a fun afternoon. I'm envious. I keep thinking I got to get down there because it sounds like a great afternoon of racing down at Fire Hills. But we appreciate the visit, and we will talk again.
All right, thanks, Steph. Enjoy the day.
Sean Clancy, again, his River D horses in the fourth race, City Dreamer, and the fifth race, Douglas Road. But we also got some of his thoughts on the Grand National, the highlight of the Far Hills card this afternoon. Was that a live shot there? Yeah, so the crowd, yeah, nice. And as I say, I would love to go down. It sounds like a great day of racing. And since they added the parimutuel wagering, a fun day from that aspect as well. So put it on your calendar maybe for next year, because it's not a bad drive from here. And it looks like it's just a great day of steeplechase racing and some flat racing also. They stick in there. But we will have some of that here on the network this afternoon. Should be a lot of fun. All right. I'm going to wrap things up, but we're heading towards the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Before we do that, I do want to tip my cap to my summertime colleague, Steve Vick. Sunday's Loose on the Lead, my co-host, but also with the SiriusXM radio show At the Races. He and his DT Stables, they upset the nightcap yesterday at Belmont with Minute Mouse. Chart margin of 1 3/4, 27-1, helped make at least one person happy. I texted Steve. I didn't ask him whether he had the pick five, but I'm assuming from pool size and payout, there was only one winner of the pick five. And Minute Mouse certainly had to help this person collect $78,000 for the pick five, the late pick five yesterday at Belmont. But Minute Mouse for Steve Bick and DT Stables, $57. Nice winner. So, again, congratulations to them. The upcoming champion and the top three numbers in that fourth race at Ascot, the QE2, 10, 8, and 7. 10, 8, and 7. 7 was the third place horse. In the upcoming, however, fifth race, the Champion Stakes, $1.7 plus million dollars up for grabs, 1 1/4 on the turf. I went 6, 3, and 1. I put Magical on top, kind of master of the obvious, Magical at even money favoritism currently. This is interesting. Field of 9 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's dominated by the ladies. Field of 9 and 5 are fillies and or mares, one of those being Magical. She came out of the arc last year to win the filly and mare race on Champions Day. She steps up against the boys today, but does that same pattern coming out of the arc. Finished 5th last time behind Waldgeist and Enable. I put Coronet right underneath. She's coming out of a win last time at Deauville. She ran 2nd. In the filly and mare race behind Magical last year. So I have a couple of the ladies 1-2. And then I use the one horse in the third spot. This is a gelding coming out of a nice win last time in the middle of August. And I thought it might get some value there. Now we were 3-1 morning line. We kicked up to 4-1. I thought maybe the action that Magical was taking might give us a little more value on the one. The bottom horse, I have it 6-3-1-8. So Pondus, the number 8 horse, there's where you get your value if you can slip that into the mix somehow at 42-1. But this is a horse that 5 in the money finishes in 7 starts this year. So I thought maybe if you're going to be clever and fool around, maybe Pondus was one to, as I say, slip in. But for me, in the upcoming Champion Stakes on Champions Day at Ascot, I have it 6-3-1-8. All right, we're showing 0 minutes to post, so I'm going to step back and we'll send it over to the UK and take a look at race number 5 from Champions Day at Ascot. And I think it's 5 of, if I'm not mistaken, 6. Yeah, so there's one more race to come after this. And so you will see that on the network also. And then as the day progresses, I'll be back in with OTB Live. But again, lots of great action with the New York Bred Stakes at Belmont, Maryland Millions Day down in Maryland, Far Hills. Fun day on the racing calendar this afternoon. And again, I'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live. I want to thank our friends at Woodbine for their sponsorship. Woodbine, pick, bet, and cheer on world-class racing north of the border. Don't forget, there's an online knockout challenge today. You can check the website for more information. Tomorrow it's an NFL Sunday here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Stop on down, watch all the games, and enjoy all the racing action as well. Every Sunday during the season, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Racing Across America. We'll see you in a while.
You're watching OTB TV. a service of Capital Off Track Betting.